This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me, as always...
It's Ben Vanel here. Tommy, lovely to be here on a brand new episode of our podcast, Filthy Casuals.
Mm.
I was just looking at our recorder and forgot we were about to actually start doing the show.
What? So
how is that possible if you were looking at a recorder?
The thing that the show goes into.
Yeah, being like, well, there's no way this is going to come into play.
Sorry, I was looking down at it again.
My name's Adam Knox.
Well, we're all here together at last.
Yeah, we've just been having a conversation off air about vocal fry.
Yes.
And I think we're all really on edge and trying our hardest to not do it by accident.
It's when you go into your lower register that it happens. So I'm going to make sure that I stay up a little bit, not high enough that it's comical.
I'm going to just try. No, I think I'm doing it. I was trying to talk really smoothly.
If you go smooth and low, you've got to make sure that the air comes out in a consistent fashion.
Yeah.
Because it's when the air isn't going out quick enough through your throat.
Right.
So you've got it, like, if you're really pushing from your diaphragm, you can go low. Mm. That's the difference between a natural bass and between a tenor. Like, a tenor can maybe hit a low note, but they'll have some fry.
Right.
I used to sing in a choir because I wanted to impress a girl. And when I was in that choir, she was like, wow, that guy can really pretend to sing.
I'm loving the idea that what you're doing now as a YouTube tutorial of just like Adam Knox presents how to not have vocal fry.
Yeah. Always be screaming and then it can't happen. The air's coming out. But then it like croaks differently. Who cares?
We do. It's all I've been thinking about for 15 minutes.
Well, I didn't know this, but we've apparently been accused of doing it.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
I felt like I did it just then when I said it.
Mm. But I don't think we do it. Vocal fry, like, it happens naturally to everybody if you go lower than your normal register. But actual pronounced vocal fry is A, a very American thing, and B, a very Californian thing.
Mm.
And we are not from California. We are one of the few podcasts not from California or New York.
Yeah, we want to get to one of them, I think. That's the goal.
I want to live in Austin, Texas.
Oh,
yeah. Cool city.
Howdy,
that's
partner.
My boyfriend. His name is Austin. Yeah, it's not worth worrying about what the sound of your voice is, baby. You get out there and you start talking and you don't let the world stop you.
You know what's good then is that we've never been judged for the content of what we say. It's always, you know, real positive stuff. And here we are talking about games.
I can't listen to these guys' political fry.
So a quick shout out, whoever has made that comment online in the past, well done, because you really got under our skin.
Yeah.
Mission accomplished, if indeed that is what you were aiming for.
Not me. I'm never going to change anything. My lifestyle, even if a doctor tells me to, anything.
I just remembered that we got a shout out on Kotaku this past week. So there might be some new listeners.
Mm.
If so, this is what the podcast is. It's about video games.
Yeah. Complaining about comments.
It's us anxiously looking in a mirror. One eye's higher than the other. That's not normal, is it? But it actually is normal. Everyone has it to some degree, except for like George Clooney.
It would look stranger if you were perfectly symmetrical.
If you were perfectly symmetrical, your brain would trigger a fight or flight response because that would be a creepy looking person.
Yes.
That's just a long way of saying it looks weird. Anyway.
But thanks to Kotaku for putting us on a list of, what was it, just best gaming podcasts?
Yeah, best Australian ones, I think,
Big fan of Kotaku, huge fans of the posts about fan art of Super Meat Boy.
The best deals available on Amazon today and the next day and the next day. Yeah, it's really good.
Video games and why we should feel guilty for playing them. Kotaku.com.
That's a good angle for a gaming website. It's like you writing these articles and a lot of them are legit, but then every old one is like written from the perspective of like you seem to have a lot of contempt for the art form and the people that enjoy it.
Like that is what it is.
Yeah.
We've not invented that. Yeah, that's cool.
That's cool.
Also getting weird emails from some person who put us on a top 60 and wants us to promote it.
Yeah.
So here you go.
Yeah.
The top 60 gaming podcasts.
We just snuck in there.
54 or something.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Nice. It's going to be a huge year for us boys.
Dude, if we can get up to 52 by the end of the year, if you listen to one video game podcast a week, you'd listen to us at the end of December.
Yes.
Right now, we're in 2021 and your listening schedule.
Also, you should check out our YouTube channel for the Let's Play that we did of Until Dawn, which has just wrapped up.
It has.
We just had the season finale.
Yeah, yeah. This is the wrap party, I guess.
It was a series finale. That's it.
Yes.
That's the complete show. One and done, like Watchmen.
Yeah.
No, but our Let's Plays, it's like an anthology.
It is.
So this, next season we reboot.
This was American Horror Story.
Yes.
We already did American, like... Jailbreak Story.
Yeah, that was American Crime Story.
Yeah. Is that one of them?
Yes,
yeah,
it is.
Okay. What else do they have?
I think those are the only two.
Glee.
Right?
Glee? All right.
Same
yeah.
guy did Glee.
Next Musical. We'll be playing SingStar then.
Oh, fuck yeah.
We could do a Let's Play of Just Dance. But we just like stretch it out and we're trying to get a perfect. I've never played one, but
I'd
like
love
get
to
a
play
perfect
Let's
rating
Dance.
On all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it'd be a good way to get fit.
Yeah. What was your thing you were gonna do for the
It was the last Wii game, and I was going to play every Just Dance game.
Oh yeah,
for no reason. No, of course I didn't do it.
You were going to live stream yourself, right?
Yeah, but then I realized, what the fuck am I doing? Yeah, no, not a. There's a thing called Extra Life, which is like a charity thing that raises money for children's hospitals. That I'll want to do something for. It's a cool idea where you do a 24-hour long stream and heaps of people do it all at the same time.
Oh right, you could just do all Just Dances, and we could have like comedian friends pop. Past and
we shouldn't
like
be saying it out loud on a thing though, because now it's like that's putting a level of commitment to it that means
maybe not a physically intensive game then.
But if we were if we had a bunch of people doing it in shifts, that could work.
Yeah.
Maybe. I think it'd be fun. People must have done those games before though with it.
Yeah.
But that's fine. Who cares about stealing an idea?
So we've got a bit of news up the top that we've got to talk about. First of all, we need to check in. Adam, you and I need to check in on our friend Ben.
Oh yeah,
and his well-being.
I always get nervous when I hear there's news about Ben.
There's news that directly relates to one of Ben's big interests.
It's going to be a while before he gets to jack into the computer simulation.
Exactly. Significant delay.
Yep.
To Cyberpunk 2077, which we were just talking about. 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, we were saying...
2020 preview?
Final Fantasy VII's delayed, but at least Cyberpunk isn't.
Yeah.
Fuck me, Dad. It's been delayed, 6 months? September?
Big chunky delay September now, yeah.
5 months, something like that.
Ugh. It's so disappointing. I understand, like, it's going to be better for it.
Yeah.
Because they're forcing their employees to work 24 hours a day up until
the ultimate, the ultimate version of whatever that fucking charity was called that I've already forgotten the name
yeah,
of.
Yeah, Extra Life.
Extra Life. The ultimate version of it.
No life.
We're doing a 5 month long stream of us finishing up Cyberpunk.
Yeah, so what's going on there? So they announced the delay, and then like a day or two later, there was a follow on story of like, oh, and they're all crunching as well.
Because I think a lot of people were saying, apropos of nothing, like there was no indication of this, but they were like, hey, take longer to get it done. If that means that the people working on it get to have a better work-life balance, then I'm all for it. And then I don't know if it was because of that, but CD Projekt came out or someone from there and was like, nah, we're all going to work way harder than ever, and that's how we run our business, and if you don't like it, fuck off.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Which is like obviously bad because of worker laws and things like that, and like that's not how our society is meant to function anymore.
Yes.
But at the same time, and we've had this conversation before, is people who have all put stupid hours into creative projects, I get it.
Yes.
And if everyone there is on that same page, I get that sense of fire in your stomach to get something like that done.
I can speak to this from both sides of the fence in terms of like I've been part of things where I'm one of the...
I would call that on the fence. If you're looking at both sides of the fence, maybe you're up on top of that fence.
No, but I have a distinct opinion.
Yeah,
I'm not
sure.
Sitting on the fence.
Well, I'm waiting to see. You're on the fence right now, but you're going to tumble one way or the other.
Yeah,
no, I think
you were
on the fence for a bit and you were looking at both. You're now firmly set up on one side
but
of the
fence. But I want to hear what it was like when you were up there.
Looking at
what's
both.
On your left? Describe on your left.
I can see into both backyards.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Clowns
describe
to the
both
left, back- jokers yeah. to the right.
Let us know what's in those backyards and then describe your fall.
So, and I think so... the perspective that we have talked about is the one where we are in charge of a creative project.
Yeah.
Like, we're driving it. We... everything
right.
that is at stake for us.
We don't have subordinates.
We don't have subordinates. We win or lose based on how much effort we put in personally.
Yes.
And we've all done that, and we've put in a lot of effort to things, and sometimes it's paid off. Usually it has, I think.
Well, typically, the example that we're all, the three of us are most familiar with is stand-up comedy, specifically doing a comedy show in the comedy festival.
Yeah.
Is that fair to say? Where you have a date locked in, you have a deadline when the show is on, people buy tickets. But in terms of like the work that you put in, I guess it's kind of different for you guys because you've done stuff in a group.
Well, it's almost
really
more,
like self-regulated in
the,
terms
the
of like...
The group is the thing I compare it to more. Because the stand-up shows I've done have been me and have gone or not gone based on me. But those ones don't pan out sometimes because of reasons extraneous to the amount of work you put in. Because you've only got yourself,
your own perspective.
Right.
Yeah,
it sometimes it's not about an hour count, which is a mistake I have 100% made. But as a group, we all have kind of pushed each other pretty hard.
Yes,
and held each other accountable to keep doing it.
But none of us are, like you said, subordinate to any other in the group.
No, that's true.
But yes, but that's there's a perspective there
other
where it's
Tim.
Like.
I'm kidding. Tim, if you're listening to him.
He does listen.
Yeah,
he's a fan.
I'm kidding.
But that's one where, we're like directly on the hook for the success or failure of this creative thing.
Yes.
I've worked for companies where perhaps the workload or the expectations have been higher than what you're paid for.
Yeah.
Or what a normal day, you know, looks like in terms of worker rights and stuff.
Yeah.
And you're not personally sort of going to benefit from, say, the end result, right? Like you're just working a job, getting paid for it. You got to work extra hard because something's coming up. You got a deadline.
Yeah.
And that does not feel good.
No. And I think every job has moments of that, weirdly.
Especially these days.
Like, it's just what our society is built to expect of people.
Sure. From a media production company down to a retail job, there are spikes in times of like stress and effort and customer requirements and all that shit. And I think people just are submitted to it because of capitalism.
And that's the it always comes to this thing of like, if you don't want to do this job, you can leave and do a different job, as though that's actually freedom,
right?
As though
it's truly
your choice to have a job or not,
right?
And it isn't.
No, it's not. That's a complete fallacy. That's the fallacy of capitalism. It's like, no, you don't have a choice because society makes you have to earn money to buy things to live.
The government forces me to earn. Every morning, Scott Morrison is standing there next to my bed going, get up.
Get up.
I'm going to leave for a while now.
You wouldn't see me slacking off, taking a holiday.
I mean, he forces everyone to earn money except firefighters who specifically don't get paid.
But it's like, there's just some element. And I'm pretty sure I believe when they say people who work at CD Projekt are on that ship.
Well,
they are
right,
in the boat. They are happy to do it for the majority of them. But the ones who aren't wouldn't speak up.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That statement from them, like, we all want this to be as good as it can be, so we all are happy to bust our humps and get it to that point.
Mm.
That's all well and good as long as that literally is the result of an open meeting where everyone feels comfortable to go yes or no, and everyone legitimately is on the same page.
Yeah.
How true that is, I really don't think that that's very true at all.
It can't be.
There's absolutely no chance.
The number of people working on that game would be high enough.
Yes.
That at least one of them's like, fuck, I miss my family.
Yeah.
It's not the six people that made Untitled Goose Game all going like, boys, you know,
we're
all nearly there. We got to go all night. We'll get a pizza. But, you know, we're friends and we want this to be good and we're going to get this done and we're going to all... There's clearly going to be a good chunk of people in that huge CD Projekt office just like, yeah, I fucking hate this, but I just got to keep my head down, and then once the game's done, then I'll get a bit of a break and can go on a holiday. But for now, I am miserable.
Yeah,
it's a larger critique of the entire setup of the society that we live in. And also, I'm a hypocrite because I'm definitely going to play this game. I think I'm going to love it, and it's yet another product that I have made my peace with the fact that it is blood money that I am paying to them.
Because it's like...
It's same as my phone, same as all this other shit, same as the petrol in a car that I, you know, it's all bad. Everything has negative aspects, and so everything is okay. Everything is permitted.
It's just one of those. You're right. It's just an unfortunate thing where it's like, well, I don't know what the answer is because to go back to like our own personal experiences with it, like I've in the work that I've done, like doing in terms of just making comedy festival shows every year or working on comedy festival shows, I've had years where I've really driven myself insane. I've like sacrificed a lot in terms of just like social time and everything to just get this thing done. And then I've had ones where I just had like it's really come together very last minute, sort of out of necessity, sort of out of luck. And I kind of realized recently, like the ones where I've really pushed myself and gone insane working on it, I don't think were necessarily a lot of the time any better than ones where it kind of luckily came together at the last minute.
Right.
So I don't really know what the lesson to take away from that is. It does breed a level of like, whatever, it'll be fine.
Right.
When you're doing it is different because this is like a technical product.
It just does need the man hours of like coding and everything.
There's
like that.
There's just a number of boards they have to hammer on to make sure they don't fall off the ship.
Yeah.
A wooden ship. And when they, you know, when they finish building a ship.
I think this game
sounds awful. But yeah, it's. Do they take 10 months and work half as hard? Because then will that 10 months mean that down the line it isn't as finished as it would have been in the 5 months because you've had this extra amount of time to degrade and for things to, you know.
Yeah, like, other bugs pop up, things like software changes. Yeah, I don't know.
Well,
yeah.
I think what's most frustrating about this story is to have it be such a significant delay and then find out that's happening not because people are getting a break, but because of this thing that we're all pretty, you know, off at this point. So it really is like the worst
of both
worlds. Yeah, the crunch. Yeah. If there's gonna be a delay, you'd at least hope it's like because people are getting some kind of work life balance.
Yeah.
Or if they're crunching, it's like, well then, yeah, let's get this thing in fucking April then.
Yeah.
I guess so. I don't know. It's hard to say either way. And like, I guess it is their product.
One thing I will say is,
I guess you know, if they want to run a company that does have to be, I don't know what the workers' rights laws are like in Poland, you know.
Right.
I can't speak to them.
Yeah.
But hey, good for them just coming out with the full transparency of like, hey, this thing that everyone hates and has been a big story, we'll be damned if we're letting this get leaked on Kotaku the week after the game comes out. We're getting on the front foot,
yeah,
baby.
They're getting in front of it, I guess. I mean, and if they're saying like, if they're being transparent and they are like, we're not going to treat people poorly, we are going to work extra hard, but come in and, you know, look around like...
Right. True. There is a difference between like, hey, everyone is working whatever hour long weeks.
Yeah.
And coming in on the weekends and doing all of that. But in a decent environment, their families are okay. You know, maybe. But 5 months is a long time.
God, it is.
And when they've already been working on this since, I guess, The Witcher 3 came out of the DLC was done. Yeah. So
Ben, you're going to have to wait a little bit longer. That pre-order that you put in, that deluxe Steelbook edition, is just going to have to wait a little bit longer to have Pride of Place on that shelf over there.
I'm prepping the little jack hole in the back of my neck.
At least you've got a bit more time to work on that.
Yeah, that's true.
The
scar
will heal
one.
A bit better by the time it's out. So this kicked off a weird week of like a whole bunch of stuff being delayed as well.
Yeah.
Dying Light 2 got pushed back to, I can't remember when.
Did that even have like a solid date? I think it was like the statement says something like, we were expecting this to come out in 2020,
right,
but not a chance.
Yeah,
so,
right. Yeah.
I think that's just been put back indefinitely, which makes sense. It sounded like a really ambitious, big, huge game. Mm. So.
Right. And then the Iron Man VR.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's fine.
Yeah.
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 I mean, what more can be done to that, right? Like,
I'm guessing it's just polished stuff, and I guess VR brings its own problems to making a game where you'd have, when you were testing it, it'll be like, oh, this 30% of people are throwing up.
Right.
Which we didn't expect.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But yeah, a weird week of just, it like second, third week of the year. It's like, by the way, none of those 2020 games are coming out.
Off the back of Final Fantasy and the Avengers one and all of them being pushed back further and further, which it's it means there's a pretty light couple of months here for releases.
Yes. Look, at least The Last of Us 2 definitely won't get delayed. 100%. I'm willing to say it now. And I'm sure nothing's going to come up in the next few days.
This goes up at Thursday, 8 p.m. Australian Eastern Time.
Yep.
I look forward to 8.01 p.m. when there's an announcement.
What is the date of Last of Us 2?
May something.
Oh, okay.
April something, May.
I mean, yeah. I've got to say, yeah, look, I'm really looking forward to Cyberpunk. Of course, it sucks to have to wait a little bit longer to play something you're looking forward to enjoying. Mm-hmm. But it was coming out at a time of the year that was pretty chockers.
Yes.
September seems pretty clear at this point.
Yeah,
so
right.
I can't say I'm completely mad at the idea of it coming out at that. That's, to me, for me personally, that's a much more conducive time for gaming.
I've seen people throwing around the idea that maybe the new consoles are coming around then too.
Right.
So they are able to, you know, do a release for all of them at the same time. Maybe. Who knows?
Yeah.
And who cares? We'll see in the future.
Yeah.
Let's live in the now, baby.
Okay.
That's all we got, really.
Yeah.
Anything could happen to us.
Benny, you okay?
I guess. Yeah. I'm fine. Yeah. I'm disappointed. It's the first one that I can even almost relate to people getting mad about game delays.
Right.
But I'm not mad. I'm just like, I guess I just have to fucking wait. Like,
yeah.
You know, September will show up either way.
Yeah. Look, to be fair, for me, September is when it's my crunch for my day job.
Oh, right. Of course.
Couldn't be worse.
Yeah.
You work at CD Projekt Red, right?
Yeah, And I got this game coming out in September.
Right. If it clashes with that, is always, I do get annoyed by that too, when a video game release, this is so stupid, will clash with a real life thing. I'm like, fuck that anniversary.
That's fine. It's just a video game, guys.
Dude, we all need to just calm down and feel guilty for playing video games.
There's no ethical consumption in late stage capitalism.
There truly isn't.
There genuinely isn't.
So instead of complaining about it all the time and worrying about it, like you have a moral standpoint, just become a monster.
Yes.
And suck up all the content you can get and eat all the fucking dirty meat and all that stuff and just live it up for the 10 years we've got left.
Exactly. Fuck, this is the fall of Rome, but it's the world.
Yeah.
That was honestly my first thought. Was like, fuck, I hope the world doesn't end before Cyberpunk comes out.
That's a legitimate concern.
No, it isn't. Yeah. No, the world will be there.
I was looking out the window as baseball-sized hailstones rained down in midsummer in Australia and thought, I don't know if we're going to make it.
we should
just get it. Look, just give it to us in Australia.
Yeah.
Just give it to us, Bunny, in April, because we're on the front lines.
Like we get a national Make-A-Wish.
Yes.
No.
Yes. That's my campaign.
We'll be fine.
There was a Smash Brothers Direct.
Yeah, speaking of living in the now.
The morning after, I think our last ep went up.
I stayed up and watched that. 1:30 a.m. Australian.
Yeah, wow. I got home drunk and it just happened to be starting.
Great. So
everything's working out great for me.
We've got very different ways. I brush my teeth and set myself up in bed with my
little
laptop.
Your candlestick.
My monitor light wasn't even on. I was lighting it by the candle.
I'd been at the Rochester with our friends Huey and Harley.
Oh, boy.
Absolutely buckled by the time I got home.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Woohoo!
So I'm guessing that...
It wasn't just content that was dripping out that night,
because the Smash Brothers Direct reveal Byleth, is that how you say it? Byleth.
Yeah.
Is that the main character from Fire Emblem Three Houses?
Yes.
Okay. It's you.
The main character, both male and female versions.
Right.
My reaction to which was, oh, that's okay. It's not the most interesting character, but that's fine. Mm-hmm. Time for a nice sleep. And I'm guessing if you got home drunk, you were like, fucking fire him. What the fuck?
Yeah. No, it's pretty
much
the same.
Which I saw a lot of people doing.
Mm. Pretty much the same response. I got in and was just like, oh, that's starting. Okay, I'll just watch this.
Mm.
And then, it's Fire Emblem. That's fine, but it's not incredibly interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to... As soon as it was like the reveal, this is who it is, I just turned it off. I didn't watch all the stuff of him, you know, playing as the character and going through the moveset.
Right.
It's like, I've seen all I need. If it
the
had been
the video
some...
was crazy. Like, he counted in binary. I learned how to count in binary on my fingers from this video.
Oh, really?
It's great. Because your first finger is one. Yes. If you've seen the Fire Emblem, the Smash Brothers video, you know this now. So join in with me and count along at home.
It's like Sesame Street.
Because you can count up to 1,023. on your two hands.
Oh.
Because your thumb is one, yes. Right? Then your index finger, that's two.
Yeah.
Okay. Two plus your thumb, one, is three.
Right.
So your middle finger becomes four. Four plus your thumb is five. Four plus your index finger is six. Four plus your thumb and index finger is seven.
Oh.
Your ring finger is eight. So then that can go up to 15, and then your pinky is 16, and then you can go to 32 on the other pinky, 64 on the ring finger on the other hand, 128 on the middle finger, 256 on the index finger, 512 on your thumb, and then you get another 511 on top of that. Does that make sense?
What? No. I was with you for a bit.
Yeah.
Once the second hand came in, I was lost.
Well, too bad. I'm not doing it again.
You're the same with clocks, aren't you? You just, that second hand comes in. Just give me a digital version.
Fuck, it's 10 past one already. 11 past one. 12 past one. So you just, like, they you keep counting and adding until you need another number, until you can't count to another number.
Right.
And then your next finger becomes that number. And it just doubles. It's binary.
Okay.
So yeah. 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, 128, 256, 512.
Okay. Right. I think I get it.
Now, you don't.
No, I don't at all.
But how is that represented in binary?
It's because it's on or off.
Oh, right.
It's the same as how computers count.
Right.
So that's why they can count up to 256 in one bit, which is one byte, which is 8 bits.
Yeah.
They got the eight little ones or zeros.
Yeah.
I learned about computers from watching this fucking Fire Emblem.
Why was
video.
It in the Fire Emblem? Yeah. What context? Yes,
Sakurai is fucking, he has been locked in that weird little office that he films these videos from.
Yeah.
Just with him and a canned laughter button. Whoa. And he keeps pushing that canned laughter. There's so much canned laughter in this video.
Fuck.
I love it.
It's so weird.
I love these. You know what? The best thing about, because so this is the last new fighter for this challenger pack of six, which was originally all there were going to be. And then whatever it was 6 months ago, he was like, by the way, when we get to the end of this one, we're then going to do six more.
Right.
Which the best thing of that, more of these kooky videos from the great man.
Sure.
I love it.
Another year's worth or a year and a half or whatever
it is. The bit in this one where, like, at the start, he's like, now we've been working on this character in secret and no one in at Nintendo even knows who this character is going to be. And there's Nintendo representatives.
That really sets it up.
It's so funny. like
it's going to be the fucking the thing from Fallout. That little guy giving the thumbs up or something crazy.
It's
going
to be Poochie from The Simpsons.
Yeah. We've put Jeffrey Epstein in Super Smash Bros. It's crazy.
It's great. And just the bit where he's
every time that another character beats him, you actually can't lose as him. You can just either kill yourself or not.
Yeah.
Every time someone else beats him up, all the other characters, Mario's like, no, I think he did it himself.
You try to upload your game capture footage and it mysteriously disappears.
I saw Link kill him. No. It was
him. Hey, he's got six more to do and pretty much everyone from video gaming is already represented. Yeah. So it's not entirely...
It has to be Epstein.
Yeah.
Get Bill Clinton in there.
Hillary.
Get the whole Express. Prince Andrew.
And it was so sick how he's just like, there's reps from Nintendo divisions all over the world that are watching this, that as soon as it's over, they're going to have to scramble to get their marketing materials ready for this character.
Oh, yeah, because that's how Nintendo works.
Yeah, and
fucking
then it's just from one of their own games from 6 months ago. I love it, man. He's the king.
Fuck.
It's another Fire Emblem character, but it's from a very recent, very popular game. It makes total sense to me that... that's more interesting to me than the King of Fighters guy, Terry.
I agree, I mean, and obviously the fact that I played a lot of this game of Fire Emblem colours that. And people being like, oh, great, another Fire Emblem character, who cares? It's like, I've never touched any of the other Fire Emblem characters because I've never played another one of the games.
Right, don't get mad at Byleth because you fucking hate Marth.
Right,
like, totally. I mean, it's not...
Or Roy. You know who you should put in there? Roy.
It's not the most creative choice, sure. And, they have made a rod for their own back with having, like, you know, Banjo in there and the guy from King of Fighters. Like, there's incredibly left-field choices, all the, like, ones that fans have been crying out for ages. But, like... Yeah, Fire Emblem Three Houses was a huge game. Of course, one of the characters from that should be in there. It just sucks that the timing of it announcing it happened to be like the final fighter of this pack. Like, I think people thought, oh, this is going to really... It's not really going out with a bang, but also it's like, timing-wise, it's just when it works to have done it.
If they'd have had the first one of the next six ready to go announce at the back of this, that might have helped.
Maybe.
I don't know if that would have maybe made people go like, now you're asking me to pay for the good one or whatever.
Yeah.
But I can definitely see that it's an underwhelming end to it. But In fact, we already knew there were going to be six more. It's not an end to anything.
Yeah.
And in this surely pack, Smash Brothers Ultimate just keeps going indefinitely.
Right. Yeah, yeah, in this pack, you've had Persona 5, Dragon Quest, Banjo-Kazooie, and, yeah, King of Fighters. You've got these, like...
That's a good mix.
Enough crossover is, like, so insane.
But if you had, like, a degustation thing, and then at the end they were like, and here's some plain rice. You'd be like, oh, well, the rest was good.
No, it's a palate cleanser, all right? Just shut up and enjoy it.
This is a Smash Brothers palate cleanser.
Honestly, it's more like we ran out of... Like, we're kind of puffed out from cooking all that other stuff.
Sure. And another sword thing. But a lot of the characters are similar, whether or not they've all got the side smash.
Yeah.
They're all the same.
They've all got that mistress, the side smash.
Yeah.
And I mean, in that analogy, I ate so much of that rice in the middle of last year and I fucking loved it.
Yeah, that rice
was my favourite thing that
perfection.
I ate last year.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm happy for a little revisit.
I've never played any other Fire Emblem game. I never recognised any of those characters. Mm. Byleth is the one that I know.
So they attached at the end of like some of the streams in some countries but not in others. The little trailer for the next for the first Fire Emblem DLC as well.
Oh yeah, I did watch that. Yeah. Oh fuck, I forgot that it happened.
It's like a fourth house that lives under the castle.
This is sick. The way of justifying that it's like an optional add-on. Right. So it's like, well, how do you have people play them but not make them too integral to the story?
Oh yeah, they're shy. They were there the whole time, but they're just introverts.
They're down there with Splinter training in the sewers.
Yeah. That'd be great if it's Donatello, like a Mortal Kombat pack with the teenage Ninja Turtles.
Sick. I would absolutely love that. It looks cool. It looks really good. Did you watch it, Ben?
No, I haven't seen it. But I'm keen for like, more Three Houses.
Yeah, a little side story, brand new house. Mm-hmm. So it looks like kind of the best kind of DLC, like right. little mini story thing.
And you're not going through the main game again, but they're there this time. Is that the right? Is it like a side thing or is it like you do another playthrough of the game?
I think they're completely... No, yeah, they're not a house... I don't believe from the way the trailer makes it look that they're not a house that you can choose.
There'll be like a separate button on the main menu to be like, hey, here's the DLC.
Yes, right. So like again, like the whole justification of them, that you like them being underground means that they don't have to feed into the main story in the
at
way
all.
That like
yeah,
when you
right,
play it
yeah.
normally, like the two houses that you didn't pick kind of weave in.
Yeah.
They're just completely standalone to that.
Okay, cool.
In the ground.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
And that's Feb, I think.
Could be.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
I think it's relatively soon. But it looks great.
Yeah, nice.
Pretty pumped for that.
Yeah. I still need to play that game. I played like 11 hours on it.
Oh, that's right.
Like enjoyed it enough. Mm. But was like, eh. Mm.
We talked about it, I think, at the end of last year, but it came out at a bad time for old Noxy.
Yeah. Hey, when's a good time though, right? September? Not for me.
No. Mid-March to any time in April.
I reckon probably best time for you. I can see you being a fan of May. Weather's starting
when
to cool
I was 22.
A little bit.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't matter. what? There was another thing.
Yeah, there's more news this week.
Oh,
yeah,
Half-Life?
Oh, yeah. All those games are free. If you've never played Half-Life, go and download them for free on Steam.
Yeah.
That's sick.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they've been on deep sale a bunch of times for like $2 for all of them.
Yeah, that's true.
You've been able to buy every Valve game for $20 or something.
I don't think I've owned the Half-Life episodic games ever. I think I borrowed them off a friend at the time.
Yeah.
I'm keen to go back in on those, refresh the memory.
It suggests there's a good shot that Half-Life Alyx will tie in to the post story of episode 1 and 2.
Right.
Seeing as they're going, hey, everyone play these before Alyx comes out.
Completely.
It's crazy that it's been long enough that Half-Life is distant enough that Valve recognizes there's a whole generation of people who wouldn't have played these games.
Yeah, yeah. For us to make a bunch of money on this VR one that we're, you know, really pumping and promoting now, it makes sense for us to release every previous one for free.
Yeah.
That's our marketing budget.
Like the when you watch season 4 of a Netflix show, it's like, remember the first 3 seasons? Because we know you don't.
Yeah.
Because you watch them all at once and there's no way of you retaining that information. Here's a cut together thing. This is that. Half-Life games are still great. As someone who hasn't gone back to them in years, but they were very, very good. And I assume they're still very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd run on just about anything these days.
Yeah. Yeah.
So go get them.
I personally think it speaks to maybe them bringing back the franchise in a more significant single player PC non VR way, right? Like cool. they've almost pretended like, oh yeah, Half-Life is done. We're not even speaking about it anymore.
They've been very weird about it. They've been just non-communicative basically. Mm. They've outright said we're not done with Half-Life a couple of times, I think. I think there were some times where they said, like, oh, look, we know we still have Half-Life. We're just doing other stuff right now.
Right.
At the very least, they've never said they were done.
Right, okay.
Whereas, like, with Left 4 Dead 3 this week, someone asked them about Left 4 Dead 3.
Yeah.
And they flat out said, like, nah. We are absolutely not currently working on Left 4 Dead 3. Was what they said.
Right.
Just to throw the word absolutely in there suggests like we're fucking done with zombies as much as everyone else.
Yeah.
So maybe they're all hands on deck for Half-Life.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
I fucking love that. I love Half-Life. Yep. I miss it.
I feel like it's the right time for a big franchise to come back in and kick the door open and be like, all right, everyone, get on board.
Yeah.
Like Halo's sort of potentially sort of tailing off. Like Uncharted's done.
We've got the last two generations have kind of had the same big tentpole-y games for the whole time.
Yeah.
And every single one of them is pretty long in the tooth now.
Yeah.
So it's a good, you're right. It is a good time to make your big
new consoles, new everything.
I'm about to spend $1,000 on a new Half-Life game because it's in PC VR.
Like, yeah, same.
This is something that they could really make a big impact with if they went Half-Life Alyx. And then at the end of that fucking thing, it's like, by the way, here's Half-Life 3 coming out. Watching like a trailer for Half-Life 3 in VR.
Yeah.
I hope those cameras are on so I can see in the room where I'm about to come. I don't want to be wearing those goggles and I'm being like, oh no.
The cat.
Yeah. Wait, when did I get a cat? Oh no, it's someone else's cat. Even worse. But real cool. Go get those games.
Before we move on to the reviews that we're going to do this week, speaking of VR, Tommy, you and I attended separately an art exhibition involving VR.
Very true, we did.
It is true, isn't it? I've got you dead to rights. You can't deny it.
At the Heidi Art Gallery in...
How do you find it then?
Oh.
Wow.
Very, very droll.
I'm coming on that pussy. I can't believe I didn't say that.
Yeah.
I came on a cat.
Yeah. It's all good stuff.
It is all good stuff. That's exactly the kind of highfalutin humor that Ben and I, as people who attend art galleries, really, really get off on.
Yeah,
I look forward to
seeing
Kotaku's favorite podcasts of the year, in brackets, edited.
There's a great exhibition on at Heidi in suburban Melbourne.
Yeah.
Which suburb?
Is that a legitimate question?
Yes. If people want to go to this.
I was about to say, I overheard someone asking, like one of the guides around the gallery in a different part, so what's Heidi mean? What does Heidi mean?
And Heidelberg.
I was like, oh, this guy's dumb. and the person was very patiently was like, oh, well, you know, the artists that have contributed work here, you know, there's a sort of like a small movement called like the Heidi Artists. You know, they're Heidi Artists. It's sort of, you know, it's like a nickname. And he was like, okay, yeah, what's Heidi mean? You know, it's like, oh, it's short for Heidelberg. And then the guy was like, oh, and where is that?
Oh, wow.
Incredible.
Yeah.
This guy doesn't even need to go into the exhibition. He's just getting an incredible experience from the guide out the front.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would have assumed it was the name Heidi at first. That's what I assumed.
It's Heidi with an E on the end. So
sure.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought I was,
I had no idea this was in Heidelberg, though. What do? You go in and you look at paintings in VR?
Have you been there?
No.
It's a great gallery.
Yeah,
everyone should go. Really recommend heading down there.
Yeah, I went not for an exhibition previously. It's, you know, obviously they've got their permanent exhibits and stuff.
Right.
It's fucking cool. It's very
beautiful grounds around there too, if you go while the weather's good. So this exhibition, it's by an artist called Jess Johnson and her teaming up. Fuck, I wish I had this in front of me. Her teaming up with another guy, a guy that she's friends with who has done a lot of VR work. So she does these like incredibly detailed... how would you describe them? Very like surreal, very kind of trippy, almost Escher-y, sort of like very like detailed, weird, warped landscapes.
Sort of like this digital version of like Renaissance, like hell paintings, you know, very detailed, dark, gothic imagery, a lot of it.
Small shapes, very kind of almost magic eye, with like, sort of kaleidoscopy looking.
Yeah, very kaleidoscopic.
Impossible geometry type stuff.
Yeah,
a bit of that kind of stuff, yeah. So she's sort of done that. She's very well known in her own right. She's done that stuff for ages, and she's teamed up with this guy who's kind of put all of her stuff, her kind of like, nightmarish, full-on sort of... what would you call them? Like
very clean lines, but very complicated looking.
Yeah,
like, yeah.
Straight and narrow things. Ben just showed me a picture.
Yeah,
but like
Simon Ward detailed. Is the technical.
Simon
sort of
Ward
guy
is right.
Consultant.
So this guy has kind of taken her the kind of worlds that she imagines in her paintings and put them into like these VR experiences.
Yeah. And what does VR stand for?
Heidelberg. Vital Rurg.
I can't believe this idiot over there didn't know of. Here's Nox, one of the actual rooms. So the rooms are sort of altered, the floor is painted.
So this is the real life gallery?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the whole, there's like three or four rooms that are all sort of redone and painted. There's and like tapestries look, and stuff as well.
They look like they're made out of polygons. Sort of thing. Like the whole thing has some like very... video gamey looking aesthetic.
It is.
It's hard to tell that that's a real photo.
Right. Yeah. So that's the room. Yeah.
There's one room that's projection on each side of the wall. That's like kind of, you know, like an old video game, like Elevator Action. You know, that kind of old game where you can just see like the whole kind of house is one thing.
Oh yeah.
It's like
sick.
This huge one of them. That's probably about
like a Mighty Max.
Sort of. Yeah. That kind of thing. That's like 8 levels, and she's done this sort of incredibly detailed kind of almost house, and then there's these sort of naked sort of mannequin figurines sort of walking through.
What?
Yeah.
Just kind of
I got a boner when I was looking at
into
it.
Each other and stuff with this ambient
Get out
music.
Of here, cat. You don't want to be around here.
So that room is really cool. It's a dark room, with these two projections. There's, like you said, this ambient music. They're sort of like looping GIFs, I guess.
Yeah.
It's really, really cool. It's, it was an awesome experience.
That's probably maybe the most video gamey bit of it in terms of influence. But then, there's like, I think maybe six or so VR experiences kind of dotted around. And they're all like, one of them, it was very funny. I went with my girlfriend and she did one of them and has never really used VR and then had to go and sit outside for a bit because she felt sick.
Yeah.
And I did have a moment in it because it's doing that thing which, we talk about a lot on the show, like with VR trying to take off and people to start with gaming going, well, what's the best way to make a VR game?
Mm.
People quickly discovered that thing of if it's first person and the you, inverted commas, are moving, it makes you feel very unwell as the viewer.
You don't want your eyes to be able to track the movie.
Yeah.
And I did have a couple of moments in some of these of just like, woof, like there's one where you're moving forward.
Yeah.
And like through a maze. And you're not controlling it. It's just kind of happening automatically. And it is very cool, but I did have a moment of being like, Jesus fucking Christ.
I only did one. It was very busy when I went.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, they take about five to seven minutes each. And so it's like every person in front of you, you're like, oh, okay, that's a 40-minute wait.
Right.
So I did one and it was, you move forward a little bit at the start, which wasn't too bad, but it's just becomes this constantly rising platform that you're on.
Oh, yeah, I did that one too.
Yeah, and so things are coming in front of you. You're often like sort of drawn forwards to look over the edge.
Is that the one where all the mannequins are like falling off the cliff at one point? Yeah, I did that one.
And like giant caterpillar worms sort of whirling around in front of you. I frequently had to remind myself, don't stumble. You know, you get that feeling of like, oh, I got to get my balance. I got to recenter yourself. But it's like, no, you're like standing in front of like a bunch of people with a fucking VR headset on.
Yeah.
Don't like flail around like it's the first time you've ever done VR.
What's the hygiene levels of these helmets?
They cleaned them before I used them.
Okay.
They cleaned
there's
them every
people
like two
standing
or
out.
It's pretty heavily monitored.
Yeah.
Like there's someone next to each VR bit.
I specifically was impressed by the headset. I wish I got what brand it was.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Is it? It must be Oculus, right?
Or it could be one of the HTC ones.
Okay.
Were they wireless?
They were. No, they were not wireless. They were connected in front. They were black. They were all black. Yeah. And they put like such a seal, like no light bleed at all. Really, really comfortable. And the resolution was great. I didn't notice any pixelation at all.
The only thing I wouldn't have minded was some headphones, because that does add to the immersion a lot, like having the sound be like blocked off. Like there's kind of a speaker near you, but just being able to hear like just people milling around the gallery took you out of it a little bit.
Yeah, I agree.
Sure.
But yeah, it's a great exhibition. Yeah. And yeah, Heidi's awesome. So if you're if you're in Melbourne, if you're visiting or you live here or whatever, go go down and check it out.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a drive out of the city, but worth it.
Yeah, it's like 20 minutes, half
just off the freeway. So
but fun day. Nice little cafe there.
Yeah.
But
so yeah, shout out to Jess Johnson.
Yeah.
And yeah, even if you're not in Melbourne, look her up on Instagram, because her stuff's great and will probably appeal to people who enjoy the aesthetics of gaming.
Yes, I agree with that.
Yeah.
It's very like 13th floor, mid to late 90s cyber stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, really sick.
I love the cyber world.
You could call me a cyberpunk. Whoa. That's something I've invented.
So, yeah, let's get into what we've been playing this week.
All right.
It's kind of the first week of new releases, I guess.
Kind of? Yeah, sort of. Yeah. There's probably something out before this. But, like, there's pretty much, that we're interested in at least, maybe two games out in January.
Yeah.
And, two that are releasing for the first time this year.
Yeah.
One of them being.
Yes.
That you and I, Ben, have played.
Yes.
Dragon.
Ball.
What? Ball Z Kakarot.
Yeah, Dragon Ball Z Kakarot.
Which was
Bandai
still called
Namco.
Z over here, not Z. No one ever called it Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah.
It's always Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah. And they don't even say Z in the show, do they?
They do. They're the Z Fighters.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Z Warriors. So, I watched all of Dragon Ball Z again, like, not that long ago.
Well, you're probably getting a little bored by this game then.
Within the last 5 years or something.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I remember it all pretty fucking vividly.
I started watching it again recently. I think we all got Free Anime Lab accounts like
a year ago. That's when I watched it. It would have been within the last 1 year or 2 years or something.
Yeah, right. So I definitely started watching it again within that time and saw up until, not that far in, not until like not Namek or anything like that. Just the Earth stuff, I think.
So it is a well-trodden story.
Yeah.
At this point, every piece of Dragon Ball Z media that has come out since the original, I guess, the manga or whatever in the show has not really expanded on it, other than like the spin-offs and all that. And in terms of the games, I guess I'm saying specifically.
Right, right.
Most games that are Dragon Ball games have gone back over that same story again and again.
Mm-hmm.
And Dragon Ball Z Kakarot is absolutely no different.
Yeah.
And it's telling it in such a weird and bad way.
Why do you think it's weird and bad? Because what if I was to have a criticism, it is that it doesn't differ from the show/manga at all.
It hugely does in terms of pacing.
Right.
In terms of the quality and natural flow of any conversations.
Right.
It feels like some learning algorithm has watched all of the show
right.
and then reproduced it in a 3D environment. Because
don't think that's unfair.
All the voice.
But I like it a lot though.
Sure, I've literally been bored to sleep by this.
Yeah,
almost to tears. I cry in my sleep. So technically, you could say
sure.
It is just abysmal to me, this game.
So Ben's like, it feels like a computer wrote this instead of a human. I'm
I
in.
Yeah. I can relate.
Less organic than the comic books.
So
thank you.
It initial like broad thoughts. The graphics are kind of dodgy. The
it's
textures.
An action game, by the way. I guess we should say what this is.
Yeah, it's sort of an open world RPG action game.
Yeah.
Very light on all of those elements. It's not a particularly complex game or. It's not revolutionizing any of those elements.
Yeah. 3D open world type thing explaining the Dragon Ball story again.
Yeah, telling it very, very closely to how it's being told before.
Yeah, but in a weird way, but you go.
So yeah, I think graphically, like the textures and stuff of the world are really bad, I would say. Like just flat out bad. They're not up to modern standards.
No.
I like the animation of the characters though.
Really?
It's like sort of cel-shaded. It's not particularly complex or like it's not reaching for anything
no
that it can't achieve. It reminds me of Dragon Ball Fighters or whatever that game was called.
Yeah, it's a lower budget version of that look.
Yeah.
It doesn't look as good as plenty of those type of games have managed to in the past.
Yeah, but I certainly think the environment textures are bad, but the characters I'm fine with. The fighting I really like. It's sort of flying around, doing, you know, power attacks and doing close combat attacks and doing special attacks every now and then.
You've got a guard, you've got a dodge, you've got a punch, you've got a shoot, you've got some special attacks.
Yeah, you
can charge up and stuff. It's pretty confusing at first.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Takes a while to get your flow. And like early on in that game, it throws 100 different screens of you of like, here's this dumbass system.
Oh, God.
And then you've got to kind of, and it never really tells you it again, I guess.
Yeah.
And it doesn't introduce it. So it's just like, here's the entirety of this fucking thing.
Yeah. The community fucking somethings or whatever.
The community boards where like, hey, place this badge in this thing. And it doesn't really give any context for all of the terms, the made up terms that it's using.
Yep.
And yeah, the combat is the same where it throws it all at you and it's just like, fuck off.
Yeah.
You go on, you can figure it out.
After a while, you start having companions who are sort of there passively fighting. You know, you don't have to control them or anything, but they're in the fight as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can activate their special powers every now and then. Have like a party, you know, like RPG style.
It's confusing in that it's like complicated, but it's also thin as a puddle.
Yeah, you know, not, yeah.
Like it's not difficult at any point.
No, I guess I haven't found it. I've died once in one battle.
The bosses sometimes are like a lot more powerful than the like random world enemies.
Yes.
But you can spam the same shit again and again.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty easily cope with everything.
So what else is there? The dialogue. So I'm not too perturbed by the weird sort of like, okay, here's a cutscene where you're like button mashing through all the, you know, the subtitles.
Well, just these huge pauses, like they did the recording sessions and then left 2 or 3 seconds of dead air after every single, or like in the middle of lines. If you'll have one little
text. Do you have English on?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't. I have Japanese on with subtitles.
Well, it's the original like English voice actors.
Oh, maybe I'll put it on then because I liked them.
I'm really attached to them. Yeah. You can tell, obviously, it's been 20 years since they first did these characters for some of them.
Right.
But they're all there and they're reading their things and the performances aren't bad. They're the same. But just the way they've recorded it. So if a line is like, hey there, Krillin. My name, well, you know, my name's Goku. We're friends. But hey there, Krillin. What's up? I've got dumb hair. Mm-hmm. It'll be like, hey there, Krillin. What's up? I've got dumb hair. And it's like they were directed to do them all as separate lines.
Right.
And they weren't all edited together in the, like, it's all really low budget and weird and just like feels stilted and lame.
I haven't noticed that specifically because, like I've had Japanese on and I've just sort of been reading the subtitles and thumbing through them.
Sure.
And then sometimes it's like a scene where it's the same engine and it's like still subtitles, but you can't skip through any of the lines.
No, they have like pre-recorded cutscenes, which are then at a weirdly lower resolution and look a little grainier.
Right.
Then the other stuff, so...
And then there are other... So there's like ones that look exactly like you're still playing the game, but you can't do anything. Mm. And then there are other ones that are sort of, like bigger, proper cutscenes.
Yeah, which are like scenes from the show redone,
basically. Yeah.
And which, those are fine.
That sort of like delineation is the same in, I think, Persona 5, where it's like, why can't I skip some lines in this scene and I can in others?
Yeah.
And sometimes there's cutscenes. So like structurally, that doesn't bother me.
But some of them aren't voiced, some of them are. There's a lot of side quests and stuff you fly around and do that are like, it's fine that they're not voiced. That doesn't really bother me. It doesn't have to all be voiced, especially when I ended up, not wanting to listen to the voices because it was recorded so weirdly. And all those side quests are fucking go somewhere nearby and fucking talk to the blue question mark guy or exclamation mark. Come on back.
Yep.
And they're all boring. Collecting orbs around that fucking world is boring. And I could see how it could be relaxing or calming or just like a nice, flat, pleasant experience for some people, which a lot of people in like our Facebook group and shit have said.
Mm.
I'm not on that same page.
It's too flat for you.
I literally, I've never fallen asleep. It's so lacking in any sort of source. You know what I mean? It's just really bland.
Yeah.
It takes this Dragon Ball source material, which is you know, pretty weird and all over the place and like quite over the top, and manages to make that completely personalityless.
I don't agree with that. I definitely think it is a flat game with visibly lower budget and standards than maybe it should have. But I think it's, to me, exactly the same as watching the show again.
I'm so not on the same page with that, because the show, like, has a pace to it, and it, sometimes it's a slow pace.
Yeah.
Almost always it's a slow pace. Mm-hmm. But it isn't the same type of weird pacing, is it? Where, like, this will... It skips over huge parts of the show, like Snake Way and all that shit that are like a big part of the show. Yeah. This just goes like, hey, Goku died and he came back. See you later.
Yeah.
And like, you get a loading screen explain it to you, which is like, fuck off. And like, either do it or don't.
Right.
But the bits that it does do are so weirdly drawn out in just the moment to moment way.
Right.
Like, the overall grand macro pacing of it is off. And then the micro pacing of it is off. And the whole time it just feels stilted and weird to go through for me. It never sucked me in
at
any point. It felt like a fucking chore.
For me, it's perfectly paced.
Wow.
I'm skipping the bits that I didn't want to see. I didn't want to see Snake Way. It's basically getting to like the key points in this journey for these characters. Stuff that I slightly had forgotten about. Some like little bits and pieces with Piccolo where it's like, oh yeah, that happened. Oh, he was that guy. Or he did this. Like Gohan's little arc of becoming powerful. The like Saiyan brothers, like it's getting to what I'm interested in, and then it's getting to the fights that I saw in the show and letting me do them.
Right.
And it's not particularly challenging, but it's challenging enough that I'm getting some sort of enjoyment and satisfaction out of it.
With all the side quests and stuff,
enjoying them. Like I'm not like enthralled by them.
Right.
But like just being able to be like and fly around like Earth as Goku is really enjoyable.
This
to me.
Is like Anthem to me, actually. That's completely is having the exact same stuff as Anthem.
Right.
Except without the multiplayer aspect. Where like it's got this story that I can see should be good because I liked Dragon Ball Z. Mm. But it just isn't doing it for me.
Yeah, right.
The flying is really fun. It's innately so fun to fly around.
Yeah.
Everyone dreams of being a bird.
Yep.
And
it's for me, like that's the crux of the game, is like flying around collecting orbs. It's got that weird little thing for me that I like of just like, oh, here's like a line of glowing green things. I'm gonna like pick it up.
You're gonna love Pac-Man. When you get around to Pac-Man, you're gonna love that game.
But like going into the air pockets and like fighting these random enemies, it's very action RPG boilerplate template thing, but the skin is Dragon Ball Z, and I think that's enough for me. Like the style, the drawings, not the resolution necessarily, but like putting me in that world and letting me fuck around is enough.
There's something about the tech, like the low budget and the seams of it that I'm being able to see that it's wearing Dragon Ball Z skin, but I can like see Hannibal Lecter underneath. Do you know what I mean? Like it's creepier that it's Dragon Ball Z. It's not creepy, but it's more
noticeable?
Annoying to me that it's Dragon Ball Z because it's almost the thing I want.
It feels like a game that would have come out a long time ago.
Yeah.
Like the weird loading screens, the weird interfaces, the weird stops and starts. It's all very old fashioned.
If this was a remaster of a PS2 game, it would make sense.
Yeah. And I like it. I don't know why. I acknowledge all of those things, but they all make me like it a little bit more. And certainly the more I really dove into playing it and just was like, all right, 4 hours tonight, I'm just going to keep going through this. The more I liked it, the more I got in the flow. And also, like, I just like skipping through this Dragon Ball Z story that is really fun and nostalgic for me.
Yeah. Right.
For whatever reason, I'm not gelling with any of those elements of it at all.
Yeah, yeah.
Every single part of it is like either boring or annoying to me.
So we had
I don't know why. There's some like line that this game has drawn where if you're just below the production value, the production values of this line, and if you won't accept or are annoyed by it on either side, then you're going to maybe like it or not.
Yeah.
Because I've seen a lot of people say, if you're a Dragon Ball Z fan, you'll love this. That's the thing that's making me not like it.
Right, because I think all of the people in our Patreon group who did comment have basically accepted or, you know, conceded, this game has a lot of objective flaws and I can't stop playing it and I really love it. Like, I don't think we got maybe one comment out of 10 that was negative.
But for me.
I think genuinely on top of you, maybe one other person.
Right.
And everyone else was like, yeah, it's fun. Which is exactly how I feel. Yeah, sure. It's fun.
Yeah, it feels like a waste of time to me and it just doesn't feel like it is...
You'd rather just watch the show.
Yeah. Right. It feels like a much worse version of the show in terms of the story and the game isn't good enough for me to want to play the game.
Yeah,
right.
So there's no kind of reason for this.
Sounds like it'd make you fall asleep.
It was so weird to wake up to just like Piccolo.
I heartily recommend it if you're a Dragon Ball Z fan, and if you hate it, I fully accept that.
Sure.
You know, like, I can completely see that if you are expecting a really polished AAA or even AA, you know, modern game.
Yeah.
It's not that, but if...
But I can deal with a budget game. It's not even that. There's just something about the way that this one is made that it just feels like crap the whole time.
Right.
Not shit. Not as bad as shit,
but
it feels crappy the whole time. in a way that is pushing me away constantly from losing myself in it.
Right.
Or from enjoying it, really. I've never been able to hit that kind of flow thing of just being able to enjoy playing it.
Yeah.
I'm always fumbling with the controls. I'm always weirded out by the cutscenes and the way that the dialogue is being... shown to me. There's always something there that is keeping me at arm's length.
Yeah, right. Well, I like it.
Nice.
10 out of 10.
It's a Kamehameha plus from Ben.
Mm-hmm.
And F Frieza from me.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. That's how we rate things now. It's always on a Dragon Ball Z scale.
I've played... Well, speaking of being bored by games, I've played two this week.
Yeah.
I played a little bit of a game called Tokyo Mirage Sessions FE Encore.
I think it's Sharp FE. Sharp FE. I remember being weirded out by it being Sharp FE.
Oh, right.
Back when this came out on the Wii U in 2014 or something.
Right.
So Tokyo Mirage Sessions is a series in its own right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe so.
Is
I
it think not?
This is it. Like, it's Shin Megami Tensei is the original,
okay.
is the series, and then Tokyo Mirage Sessions is just some name. But it's like, it's those Shin Megami Tensei games crossed with Fire Emblem, right?
Yeah, so the kind of the overall plot is like, it's incredibly anime plot of, it's too hard to even go into, honestly. It's
high
just,
school?
High school students.
Oh,
like,
really?
People like people wanting to be singers, and everyone has these like performer sort of spirit within them, and these monsters have come and taken it from people.
It's
and,
the anime thing of like pick a random activity, and that activity is the most respected thing in this world,
right?
And everyone is dedicated to going to school to become a tennis player or what, like a fridge repairman, some sort of like a dolphin.
Can I? I've got a little description here. I want to read this.
Yeah.
This is a good description.
Okay.
Tokyo
is the largest city in Japan.
Taking place in modern day Tokyo.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. The game centers around hostile beings known as mirages who seek to harvest energy known as performer from humans.
Is performer spelled normal?
No,
with an A.
With an A. Yeah. They're responsible for several disappearances. The story follows a group of teenagers who become allied with friendly mirages based on characters from the Fire Emblem series.
I'm a mirage, but I'm an ally.
And merge with them to become Mirage Masters. Under the guise of the Fortuna Entertainment Talent Agency, the Mirage Masters fight to protect innocent people from the mirages and find out who is behind the attacks. It sounds like Persona.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, that's the Shin Megami Tensei.
Yeah.
So, it wasn't really on my radar at all. Just was looking for something to play this week. Mm. I'd read a lot of positive stuff about it. There were a lot of people very excited that it was being re-released because people like, it really got slept on the Wii U. Like, I read enough stuff like that. And so far, it's just, I'm pretty early on in it, but it's the combat scenes are pretty interesting in the sense that you go into this sort of, it's like you're in this big arena doing a performance. And so visually it looks interesting, but it just is very by the numbers JRPG.
Right.
Nothing unique about the combat. even stylistically, and also just like it's so dumb and weeby, which I think I just am tapped out on that kind of stuff.
Like,
I've played a lot of very Japanese stuff in the last 6 months, and it's just like, you know, a lot of those stories and games in like JRPGs are kind of like paced the same way. So just like my tolerance for just like,
hey, Krillin.
Like, yeah, slogging through all that shit is just way down.
I've got
just
bad
like,
hair.
I'm not even finding it like fun to buy into the like, yeah, this is ridiculous, I'm along for the ride. It's like, I'm just finding it tedious. And yeah, I don't think I have it in me to stick it out. Like, there's no charm to it that's really like grabbed me and made me go, cool, this is like fun and silly. It's just, I've played a lot of fun and silly stuff that has just been fun and silly in a lot more interesting way.
This does. This sounded like a Mad Lib sort of version of that JRPG.
Yeah.
Thing,
yeah.
Where it's just like, this sounds really been there, done that.
A bit, yeah. So that didn't really grab me. And then I also played the demo of Pokemon Mystery Dungeon, which is a remaster of a DS game.
I think it was a like Game Boy Advance and a DS game that came out at the same time.
Ah, okay.
Wow.
Right, like, and they were two versions of the same thing. I was reading up on this to see if I'd remember.
Well, it was kind of interesting. I mean, I like what they've done with the art style of the remake. So I was like, oh, this looks kind of cool and sort
it's
of
like
watercolory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And also just, you know, we were all pretty bored by Pokemon Sword and Shield, very by the numbers. And so I thought, oh, you know, it could be cool to play a Pokemon game where there's something a bit different going on. Like, it's a side thing. It's a spin-off.
Mm.
So it's basically you wake up in this world.
Fitzel's house. You've got to find the mystery dungeon.
You wake up in this world where you're a Pokemon.
I'm interested.
Yeah, and they all talk. So it's like the Pokemon are all just cat. There's no trainers. There's no humans.
Wow.
It's just the Pokemon talking to each other and interacting with each other.
Okay.
You choose which one you want to be out of about 10, I think. And then you choose like a companion out of those same 10.
So what did you choose?
I chose Psyduck and I chose Bulbasaur as my little friend.
Okay.
And you kind of go around this world and you go into these dungeons. Basically, the game seems to be going to these dungeons to rescue a Pokemon that's trapped there on, let's say, the 8th floor down. And you have to make your way through the dungeon. But the dungeons are all randomized. And you basically move around this. It's top down. You move around this dungeon and you do these battles. But the battles are kind of real-timey, but kind of still turn-based. So, you'll come up against someone, like an enemy on the grid.
Mm.
And these enemies are other Pokemon.
Enemies are other Pokemon. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And you just basically hammer the A button to attack, and then you attack in turn, but it goes for about maybe 3 rounds.
Right.
It's very quick.
Right.
Each interaction so far for me with an enemy has been 15 seconds.
Yeah, okay.
So you're moving around these dungeons that are randomized, so there's no intricate, interesting puzzles or anything like that. Like, you know that it's just like, oh, okay, there'll be 4 enemies here, and you basically just having to find your way to the stairwell to get down into the next level because you've been told like the Pokemon you have to rescue is eight floors down. So the fact that it's just one of those ones where I can't work out who is this for. I really don't understand the enjoyment of it. I like the world and the aesthetic. Like, it's kind of cool, like a different take on not being a Pokemon trainer, like, you know, them talking to each other. It's kind of cute and everything. But gameplay-wise, like, I just am incredibly bored of it after just doing 2 of the dungeons. I'm like, I don't see what the sticking power of this is.
Damn, you're 0 for 2 this week.
0 for 2.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Ben's the only one who's enjoyed video games this week.
Yeah.
Actually, I played some Doom and that's still fun. The ports of that got a patch that fixed all of the problems with them. And they're like pretty good versions now, and having Doom on the Switch is nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though it doesn't feel great to control those sticks. But
actually, I'll tell you what I did enjoy this week.
Yes.
I only played a very tiny amount of it when it came out, so I played a bit more of Untitled Goose Game.
Oh, right.
With my girlfriend, who doesn't play video games at all.
Right.
And it's a great one for playing with someone else and just like trying to work out together like what you meant to do in it.
Yeah.
Because she sent me ages ago this article that she was like, I've really enjoyed this short story that someone's written about imagining themselves.
Oh, yeah.
Did I tell you guys
this story.
Was this
yeah.
on the pod, or naughty... did we talk about it off there?
I can't remember.
Yeah, I can't remember either. But it was like this short story that she was like, this is a really funny story, a short story that someone's written about being a naughty goose. And I was like, That's a. It's someone talking about playing this video game that's just come out that I played a little bit of.
Look at this story about this guy who was like a robot in space and he fought something called the Covenant. Wow, this guy's got such a crazy life.
Yeah.
Well, she's like, I had no idea it was about a video game. I thought it was just a piece of fiction about being a goose. I'm like, literally the second line of this story is, I pushed the B button to do this. So for ages I've been meaning to, I was like, I've got to show you that game and show you what it actually is. And so I had a great time doing that. Like, I kind of had only gotten up to like the second area,
right,
where you've got the boy with the glasses and everything.
Yep.
So I had a lovely evening playing that. Everything else this week though,
fuck,
not doing it for me.
I'll just check in briefly because I don't think I'll go in depth on any of these games. Divinity Original Sin 2, I've been playing a lot on PC.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. It's really, really good. I tried to play it on PS4 ages ago and the controls was not conducive to a top-down or isometric RPG.
Right.
It's really, really fun. Good story. Really driving me through it. I recommend it highly.
Does it matter that you've not played the first one?
No, not to me.
Cool, good.
Yeah. Disco Elysium is still really good.
Oh, yeah.
I've saw more people specifically just say it's basically a book game.
Yeah.
And it is, and it's really well written, and I like it a lot. Oh, and Total War Hammer 2.
Right.
I've gone in on. Really, really fun. I really like Total War Rome and Empire and stuff back in the day.
Yeah.
I also liked Warhammer, and this is a sick game. So anyone who's had not played it yet, I can recommend buying it.
Great.
Cool. I'll do a quick wrap-up of things I've played over the summer. I played through Dead Space 2.
Yes.
It's fine.
Because you played 1?
I played 1 and I really liked it. 2 is a lot more action-y. It's right. less... unique feeling. You can tell that it's being made at the period of time that it was.
Right.
It's like, it feels like it was made by people who didn't quite understand maybe the... that's not fair to say they didn't understand. There's some pretty hectic shit that happens in that, particularly with like the kids who were on this space station that you're on.
Right.
Where you're like, fucking hell.
Right.
And you like spend a lot of your time shooting it's like a bit weird. You did it a bit in the first one. But they were like test tube kids weird. I don't know. Not that that doesn't make you
if you're an IVF baby, you deserve to die.
Not what I've said officially. Off the record, agree. But I don't know. There's some of that stuff I was just like, oh, this...
Are they trying to be edgy?
It felt edgy.
Yeah.
There's a bit where you got to jam a spike in your eye, that sort of shit, where it's like... Okay. Felt. That's why I kind of started by saying it felt like someone didn't understand the impact of what they were doing.
Right.
Because it does... Some of the shit in that game feels like a 14-year-old's notebook where they're like, right. Imagine this.
Right.
But it was fine. It was an okay action game. I'm going to play 3, which is apparently the worst one.
Great.
But it was just Dead Space was always one of those ones that I never ticked off. And I want to do that. And I played through Donkey Kong 64 for some reason. Because I bought a thing called a Retro Tink to record maybe some videos with. Because you can plug old inputs from old consoles into that. Turns them into HDMI. It's a really, really good little thing.
Yeah, right.
It's one guy makes him. I think his name's Mike Chi. I think that's his name. And then it's $100.
Fuck.
You just put your address in the PayPal thing when you pay him, and it works really well.
So as in what physically?
It's like a little board, a little computer chip thing.
Yeah.
And I understand binary clearly. Now, so I know what I'm talking about. And you've got like component inputs, you've got an S-Video one, and you've got a composite one.
Yeah, right, okay.
And audio, and it'll convert it to HDMI. There's no lag or anything in it. You get to do 240, 480p, or like a line-doubled 480p with like smoothing.
Yep.
And then it can take all the different inputs of like NTSC consoles or whatever. It's a really, really cool little thing if it's something that you would use. That's something I hope to.
What better game to take this for a test run with?
I thought, hey, let's go to the original favorite game of anyone who likes old games, Donkey Kong 64, which is a terrible game that I completed 101%
of. Oh, my God. just over the summer.
It was one of those ones where I remember I played it back in the day.
Yeah.
It was familiar enough that it was comforting.
Right.
But I didn't remember it well enough that it didn't feel new.
Mm-hmm.
But it is extremely rushed and feels almost broken at points.
But also simultaneously overstuffed.
That was my Dragon Ball Z Kakarot, I think.
Right.
Where like, I get that it's bad, but I enjoyed playing through it.
Yeah, okay.
Because when you see Donkey Kong Kamehameha-ing fucking King K. Rool, that's a good moment when Chunky Kong spirit bombs... whoever.
Yeah.
But yeah, I want to use that. That if you've got like old consoles
right.
that you don't have displays for anymore, which is like a common problem now, it's the cheapest, best way of solving that I was able to find, and I'm really, really happy with it. It's called a RetroTINK 2S. No, 2X, sorry. And if you Google that,
nice.
You'll be able to figure it out.
Yeah.
But I recommend that if it looks like it'd solve a problem that you've been having.
Great. Nice. Well, that's us done for another week, folks. Let's wrap it up there.
Yeah.
Filthycasuals.com.au for the links to all of our social media stuff. Go check out the completed playthrough that we did of Until Dawn.
Yep.
Hop on the Patreon. You can support the show. You can get a bonus episode every week.
Yeah, we're currently reviewing the entire decade, the 20-aughts.
Yep.
Going year by year. It's been really fun.
It has been.
And enjoyable, and people seem to enjoy listening to it as well.
People are into
we'll
it.
We'll be talking about 2014's Donkey Kong 64 next week.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Yeah, head over there. Follow us on all the social media and stuff. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. Until then, as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
Next time on Filthy Casuals.
That was not that bad.
Yeah. Ah!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.